But Luke chapter 1, let's jump into the Word today. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Said, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, just the very sound of her greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed what the Lord would do. The Lord would do what he said. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I pray that you would it would cut like a knife today and that you would do spiritual surgery on us. Let my words be few. Let your words be powerful. And let your spirit seal this in our hearts today, what you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Conversations by the fire. Again, I love sitting at a fire. I love to sit down and just have a conversation. I said it last week. Thank you to Brother Rodney. He's actually in-house today. Thank you to Brother Rodney for helping us with the mantle here. Doesn't it look good, folks? But I love sitting down next to a fire and carrying on conversations. Sitting there, and we talked about it last week. We all love to listen to conversations, too. You listen long enough, you're going to hear some strange things. Especially if you listen to kids. You listen to kids. There's an old commercial that this couple gets on an elevator with another couple or an elderly couple. And they get on this elevator, and they're pushing a little stroller with a little baby in it. It's got their little daughter with them. And they're sitting there carrying on a conversation, or the little daughter starts carrying on a conversation with the older couple that's in there. And she's like, this is my little brother. And they're like, oh, well, isn't that sweet? That's sweet. He was just born. Yep. We went, and then she said, we went on vacation, and we went to Disney, and she tells them all about Disney, and tells them all about the vacation they took, and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden she goes, and this is when she introduced her little brother. She says, this is my little brother. And they go, oh, well, that's sweet. He looks like he was just born. Yeah, he was just born. And then she looks up and she says, Mom and Dad says he's our little souvenir. You listen long enough, you're gonna have some good conversations with kids. But conversations, it's amazing what you hear. It's amazing what you hear and what you learn when you keep your mouth shut and you listen. When you're quiet and you sit back and you listen, it's amazing what you hear. Now, everybody's thinking, oh gosh, I am never talking around Pastor Aaron ever again. Don't think I'm a creeper, okay? I don't creep around going, okay, what kind of dirt can I find on somebody today? I am not a creeper. Don't think that. In my life, though, it's just as you're walking through a room, you're going to catch a little bit of this conversation, a little bit. I'm not sitting over there going, okay, I want to see who I can eavesdrop on and see what I can find out today. But it's amazing that you pick up little things. In my life, people have always been blown away because of what I knew about them. Because I try to listen intently wherever I go. Now, sometimes my wife might argue with that sometimes, because there's times where I'm sitting there watching a ball game at the house, and she'll say something, and I'll go, huh? But I try to listen intently. You learn to read people when you're in a conversation. You learn to read people and their body language, their tone of voice, the context of what is said. All of these are keys to understanding people and learning to read the room. Let me give you a few examples. If you have somebody that is standing there and they're leaning into your conversation, and they're, well, tell me more about this. And you can see there's excitement on their face, and they're, tell me some more about this. Tell me what you mean by that. Oh, what happened next? You can tell that they're excited about it, right? But if you got somebody that's going, yeah, wow, cool, yeah, they're probably not into what you're talking about. Okay, I have that effect on people when I start talking about like Star Wars and stuff. I start talking about Star Wars, and their eyes just sort of glaze over, and it's like, yeah, cool. Yeah. But that's just me. I'm the dork. I'm the nerd that's going to do that. You've got those that also, if they sit in a room, and they got this scowl on them, it looked like they've been sucking on a pickle for about 3 years, and they're sitting there, and they're probably not paying much attention to what you're saying. Or if they are, they're scrutinizing it. You know, it's sort of like, I can tell that people are not listening to me in the services sometimes. Especially if I hear this. That body language tells me a little bit. Okay? That's okay. And listen, everybody's going, I ain't ever fallen asleep with Pastor Aaron up there. Listen, I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to let your snore do it for me. But again, like a pastor once said one time, I'm okay if you take naps while you're at church, because maybe you'll get something in between the naps, okay? So even if you're tired, come on to church and spend some time with us. But the thing is, when Luke writes this particular story into the gospel, you have to understand it isn't something that he actually experienced. Luke was not around when Mary was pregnant with Jesus. Luke was not around when Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. He wasn't around. So what did he have to do? He had to have a conversation with Mary. He had to have a conversation with Elizabeth. He had to find out what was going on. He had to have interviewed Mary during this time in order to get all this information. She shared with him each word carefully and purposefully, and he copied it down exactly as she shared it. God's word, how many of you believe God's word is true? God's word is inerrant. That's a fancy word for saying there ain't no mistakes. All right, now everybody, there's a lot of people out there, well, you know, it's been thousands of years, and there's some things that have gotten translated wrong. Listen, do you believe God can do miracles? Do you believe God, that Jesus was born of a virgin? Do you believe that he can heal the lame? Do you believe that he can heal the blind? Do you believe that he can save a soul? Then what is a word to God? God can make sure that everything's translated exactly the way it's supposed to be. Our job is just to trust him. Again, we serve a faithful God and we believe his word is true. And our job is to trust him. But God's word is inerrant and it's powerful and has something to teach us through everything written in it. This is one of my big deals. Y'all know me. I go through the same scripture and I'll preach on the same scripture five times and teach five different lessons. Why? Because every word means something specific. Every word means something purposeful. It's sort of like even the genealogies. And Adam begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot, and you're sitting there reading, and your head is bobbing while you're, and Mephibosheth begot so-and-so, okay, whatever. And you're like, you're going, number one, I can't pronounce all the names. Number two, why do I have to know about all of these people? And the thing is, even the genealogies mean something to us. Even the genealogies mean something. Without the genealogies, we wouldn't understand the redemptive power of Christ. And everybody's going, well, how is that? Because if you look back through the genealogy, when it speaks about the genealogies, what it's doing is it's telling you where Jesus came from. It's telling you who came before Jesus and who is in Jesus' line. And if you look back through Jesus' line, there are some people that shouldn't be there. There are some people that this world would have written off, such as Rahab. If you don't know who Rahab is the woman who helped the spies out when they snuck into Jericho. When they snuck in, she's the one that helped the spies out, and she hung the scarlet thread out of her window, and she was a prostitute. Jesus has a prostitute in his genealogy. But God redeemed her. Not to mention Ruth. Ruth was someone who married a young man who ended up dying and passing away before he passed on any kind of lineage to her. No kids, no nothing. But the thing is, she should have been written off. Why? Because widows are supposed to take care of themselves. Or actually, widows were supposed to go down through the family. But there was nobody for her to marry so that she could carry on that lineage.
But God saw fit to take her and put her in the field of a man named Boaz. He may have been a distant relative, but he was the kinsman redeemer. It is the redemptive power of God that brought Ruth there. Come on, is this getting anybody else excited? Because it tells me something about us. It tells me that even though our lineage may not be perfect, even though our past may not be perfect, even though we may look like we don't belong in the lineage of Jesus Christ, even though we don't belong and we don't deserve His forgiveness, He still gives it. So like David and Bathsheba, we talked about this Wednesday night. If you're not, and listen, if you're not here on Wednesday nights, you're missing out. We have some fun, but we get deep into the Word and we start speaking and we study the Word. In here is not discipleship time. This time is a time for you to hear the Word of God and for God to stir your heart. In that classroom is where we dig in and we start discipling. We start getting into the deep things of God. Now, we may disagree on some things sometimes, but that's okay. Because we're going to search the Word out and we're going to go by the Word. But David and Bathsheba, a relationship that never should have happened, but after the repentance of King David led to the establishing of the throne of the family of David forever. A relationship never should have happened between the two of them. Why? Because she was another man's wife. And David messed up. He admitted he messed up. He had to be called out by the prophet Nathan, but he admitted he messed up. Even the genealogy, see, it shows us the redemptive power of God. Luke gives us a snapshot through this conversation with Mary and through this conversation with Elizabeth. He gives us a snapshot into the early days of Mary's pregnancy and reveals a whole lot more than just a baby that is to be born. He gives us a whole lot more. He reveals three things. Everybody say three things. He reveals three things, and unfortunately, we've only got time to get to one of them today. Next week, I'm going to finish this message. But today, we're going to talk about one. But he reveals three things that this little baby brought with him, even in the time of his gestation, in the time that he was in his mother's womb. He shows us that Jesus' ministry really did not start when he was 30 years old. And everybody's sitting there going, oh, he's preaching heresy now. No. Jesus started ministering the moment he was conceived in the womb of Mary. He started doing, because it says that a few days later, Mary hurried. And see, that's the effect of the Son of God, is that he causes you to go, you know what, I got to tell somebody. I gotta go share this. She hurried over to her relative Elizabeth. The Bible says she hurried over there. His ministry didn't start at 30 years old, but it started as a fetus in his mother's womb. He was already fulfilling the destiny he was called to do. His public ministry started at 30, but his actual destiny was immediately put into motion from the moment the Holy Spirit conceived him. Let me let you know something. The moment the Holy Spirit comes upon you, your destiny starts to form and your destiny starts to happen and your destiny starts to step out and starts to open up in front of you. Why? Because God doesn't wait for us to be ready. But ain't I supposed to sit back and learn something? Yes. But when you are saved, there's automatically a purpose inside of your life. And that purpose is to worship Him, to love Him, to love people, and to make disciples. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to wait to do any of those three things. Nowhere. Yeah, now I recommend if you want to be called to, if you feel like you're called to full-time ministry, I recommend getting some kind of education. I recommend studying the Bible at least a little bit, because it is pretty much a pretty important part of being a minister. And you got to be prepared. But automatically, Jesus started ministering the same way that we can. See, His presence, the first thing he did was He brought joy. Everybody say joy. His presence, Jesus' presence in the womb, prompted joy. Our experience, I want to tell you about mine and Amy's experience about finding out when she was pregnant with Shelby.
which, by the way, my daughter is back home. Woo-hoo. She got here late last night, and she might look a little bit like a chipmunk right now. She had her wisdom teeth taken out, but she's doing good. But I'm glad to have my daughter home. She is doing great up at James River, and I wonder if she's ever going to come back home after she graduates. But she's doing a great job up there, and I'm so glad to have her here. But when we found out that Amy was pregnant with Shelby, it was when we were living in South Florida. And I'm talking about South Florida. Anybody know where Lake Okeechobee is? Lake Okeechobee. Right at the very top of it is a place called Okeechobee. That's where we live. That's where we were ministering. I was a youth pastor there for 2 years, youth and children's pastor. I was there for 2 years. And after we had been there, close to a year, we found out that we were pregnant. Well, the night that we found out, we were sort of wondering, and you know the signs of things that happen and all that kind of, and all of that kind of thing. Well, we were sitting there, and I was in the kitchen cooking, because somebody had given us deer tenderloin. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. I bless that person right now, Lord. But I was in there cooking up some deer tenderloin, and Amy disappeared. And she came back, and I'm sitting there cooking and all this kind of stuff, and I was nervous and all that kind of stuff because I knew she was going to take a test. She came back, and she had this look on her face, and she just... And you know what I did? I started giggling, and I started laughing like a little kid at a candy store. I was like... And I laughed, I bet, for probably 15 minutes. I did the same thing with DJ when we found out that she was pregnant with him. I started giggling. I started laughing because there was joy on the inside of me. There was a child in between Shelby and DJ that we found out about. And I had joy. And I was laughing and giggling with that child. And there's another one waiting on me in heaven. Amen? But at the same time, that joy started coming into my life. Why? Because of a little baby inside of a womb. A little baby inside of a womb changed my life. Jesus Christ was on the inside of this womb, and he automatically started bringing joy to those he was around. At Christmas time, listen, at Christmas time, we get joy from watching kids open presents and watching people open presents. They're sitting there tearing into it, and I got a present. Listen, I watched one kid on YouTube. He opened something up. It was a banana, and he was like, I got a banana. He's so excited about his banana. It doesn't matter. But there was joy that they were experiencing. I did the same thing when I was a kid. The joy that Christ brought with him, the joy that Christ brought with him was different, though. It was a different kind of joy. It was a different kind of happiness. Somebody say joy. It was a different kind of happiness. We heard last week how the angels prophesied just one chapter later in Luke chapter 2 about the joy that he brings, where it says in Luke 2:10, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Great joy. Psalm 96, 11 through 12. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst with joy. Even the earth was joyful that Christ showed up. Even the earth was joyful. Let the trees and the forest sing for joy. We see the fulfillment of that verse right there. We see the fulfillment of that verse just days after Mary had a conversation with the angel. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth could not help but respond to the Savior on the inside of her relative. The Spirit inside of her and the Holy Spirit that descended on, it could not help but come out. And then we find out that little John on the inside of her said, Mama, you ain't getting to do this by yourself. He said, I want in on some of this action. He said, I want to praise. I want to have fun. Luke 1:44, when I heard your greeting, this is Elizabeth talking, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. That, listen, ladies, those of you that have had kids, you understand when the baby starts jumping, you see what, you know, you feel it going on. That baby's kicking that bladder as hard as he can, and he's stretching and all that kind of stuff. When John all of a sudden heard the voice of the mother of his Savior and King that he had been waiting on for so long, all of a sudden everything changed, and there was joy inside of him before he was even born. You know, it's funny that the first person to recognize the Savior of the world was a baby, was a fetus that was not even born. Yet today we wonder, no, I'm not going to go there today. Because, can I tell you something? Children have the voice of God already spoken to them. And we need to protect them. We need to keep them safe. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. The irony of all of this is that this time of year, we're celebrating the bringer of joy in a joyless society. We celebrate this bringer of joy. We're sitting there and we have Christmas trees, which are gorgeous and beautiful. And thank you to all of our ladies that helped us decorate the areas around here. We thank you for all of that. We sit there, we have decorations at our home. I walked into a home the other day that was just completely decked out, and it was just gorgeous. Everything was beautiful. But in many cases, there are people that decorate the outside of their homes, and they decorate the inside of their homes, but on the inside of their hearts, they're as cold as ice, and they're dark, and they're depleted, and they're depressed, and their anxiety is kicking as high as it can go. Today, the CDC says that in August 2020, from August 2020 to February of 2021, anxiety and depressive disorders were up over 41%. 41%. The largest affected population were people that were 18 to 29 years old. 18 to 29. Most of us sit there and go, what does an 18-year-old have to be stressed about? Listen, they've got more than you think. Because when we were 18, it was a whole lot different. It was a different world. There are things that they deal with on a regular basis that we never had to deal with. During the holidays in November and December, there are more suicides and suicide attempts than the rest of the year combined. We're celebrating the bringer of joy in a joyless society. Where's our joy? Satan has learned that if he can steal the joy out from this time of the year, out of this time of the year, he is stealing the purpose for which Christ came. If he can steal your joy, I don't know why we got to travel so far. I don't know why we got to spend so much money on these dang kids. They don't deserve a daggum thing. And you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't know this. And we get so frustrated. We get so ill and just, and then it sucks the joy right out of the situation, right? We get so busy. Don't let your joy be taken from you this Christmas season or any season. Embrace and guard the joy that Christ brings into this world. The first thing he brought was joy. And it was recognized by those that heard her voice. This season may be all about joy, but it has a tendency to crush us if we aren't careful. The busyness of the season and all the different things that get our eyes off of the real reason for the season. Remember the reason the baby jumped for joy inside of Elizabeth. Remember the reason. Remember the reason. This is how we keep our joy. We remember the reason why he was jumping. This is how we keep our joy in our life. We remember the reason that the baby jumped for joy. Baby John got so excited that he started jumping around. It's sort of like we do down here, or we should be doing during our praise and worship time. Every now and then, you know, the Holy Spirit hits, all of a sudden somebody, whoo, hallelujah. Listen, I'm waiting for that to happen to some of y'all. I don't know what's going on, but listen, we are a Pentecostal church. We do allow you to dance up here. Just don't start Okay, now that's not going to be good. Okay, but we encourage you to come down here and jump for joy, sing for joy. Even when you're trying to find your joy, sometimes you have to speak it into existence. You have to grab a hold of it and hold it and remember the reason why I have joy, the reason why I'm supposed to be happy, the reason why I'm supposed to have this joy is because of His salvation that has come my way. That's the whole reason why John was so excited. He started jumping inside of the womb because he knew for 400 years the prophets were silent, but now the heavens were open and the promised one was coming down to earth and that something was about to change. That's the reason why the baby was jumping, not because mama ate something spicy. He was jumping because after waiting for centuries for the promised one to arrive, he was finally there. So remember the reason the baby jumped. Remember the reason he jumped for joy. Everybody say remember. Next, don't be distracted by what the world has made Christmas into. Again, we have commercialized Christmas so much. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't be going, okay, Pastor, you're turning into a Grinch. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. We watched that yesterday. I'm not a Grinch. I love Christmas. I really do. But at the same time, we get so distracted by what people have made Christmas into, by what they've done. The commercialized version of freedom and prosperity. See, again, Satan takes what God created and twists it just a little bit. Just takes it and goes, changed it just a little bit. And he says, you know what? That baby didn't give you freedom. You have freedom just because you can go buy what you want, because you can do what you want, because you can eat what you want, because your family is more important than that freedom. He tries to change things, tries to twist things. We end up getting a happiness from the Christmas season sometimes that fades as we unplug the lights. During Christmas, there's a little bit more joy in our lives sometimes. We get happy because of the lights. We get happy because of everything around us and everything. But then what happens after Christmas is over with and we unplug the lights, we put everything back in the attic or we put everything back in the crawl space, and we're sitting there wondering, okay, what do I do next? What we have to remember is that the joy of Christ is not seasonal. The joy of Christ is not seasonal. The joy of Christ was meant for Easter. The joy of Christ was meant for a Thursday when you're tripping over yourself and things are going wrong and when the world seems to be falling apart. The joy of Christ was meant for a Sunday when you're in the middle of a worship service and God starts to move and starts to change people's lives and you see somebody come down to the altar and get saved. That's where the joy of Christ is meant for. But it's also meant for the days where you go out and you try to witness to somebody and you get cussed out because they don't believe the way that you think, and they don't believe what you're saying is true, and they start treating you badly. The joy of Christ is also meant for that job situation that you are miserable in that situation, but you know God has put you there for a reason. Why? Because God has brought joy for that, because He has got purpose inside of you. Joy is not meant to be seasonal. The presence of God is not seasonal. I heard somebody say one time that I just feel the presence of God so much more at Christmas than at Easter. Well, yeah, that's because the only time you ever show up for church is when you show up at Christmas and at Easter. You're a creaster. You're not a Christian, you're a creaster. Church, listen to me. When we spend every day in His presence, y'all pardon me while I laugh a little bit because I got a little joy in my heart right now, because we need to get to the point where, you know what? I know I'm tired. I know I don't feel like going. I know somebody stepped on my toes. I know somebody didn't speak to me that should have spoke to me. I know somebody's made me mad. But it doesn't matter, because the joy that I'm looking for is in there. The joy that I need is there with Christ. It's not bound in somebody else. It's not bound in a form. It's not bound in tradition. It's not bound in a building, but it's bound in His presence. Y'all get that one for free. Know that what you celebrate is a promise that was given back to us back in Genesis. Back in Genesis, just moments after the fall of man, it is something that is more important than just a yearly celebration. Genesis 3:15 in the NIV says this. It says, "And I will put enmity, strife, problems between you and the woman." He's speaking to the snake, which tells you right there, snakes are evil. Okay? Between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. He will crush your head. Some of y'all ain't kidding. It's because right behind it, it says, and you will strike his heel. What's worse, crushing or striking? Crushing. Why? Because that means that our Father, our Savior, our King, our Jesus, he is crushing our opposition. He is crushing our situation. He is crushing the sin that is trying to entangle us. He is crushing our enemy. You know what? The devil may have won a battle when he put Jesus on the cross and he struck his heel by the way that he put the nails through his hands and nails through his feet. But through the war, that was all part of Jesus Christ's plan. He didn't win anything. At the end of it, Jesus was standing on top of Satan's neck going, yeah, remember my father telling you about this way back? You remember when he said this? Hey, listen, that's where our joy comes from. This is a promise that was given to us. Y'all pardon me, I know I'm going long today, but y'all got to hang with me. As John grew, he was finally able to give voice to the joy that he had in the womb 30 years earlier. John 1:29. Jesus is walking down the shore. And John looks and he sees him. And he says, the next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him. And he said, behold! Hey, y'all, look! Look! There's the guy that I jumped for. There's the guy that brought me joy before I was even born. There's the one that's come. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He got excited, and he was finally able to give voice to his joy. So we have to understand the reason why he jumped. Remember the reason baby jumped. Understand it. And then also understand the ultimate goal and purpose for Christ's arrival. His ultimate goal was freedom from sin. His ultimate goal was freedom for you, for me, for the people that are out there on the streets right now, for the people that are in Walmart, for the people that are in the mall, for the people that are down on the streets that are doing drugs on a regular basis. He loves them just the way he loves us. He died for them the same way that he died for us. Those that are struggling with alcohol, those that are struggling with anxiety and depression, those that are struggling with bitterness in their heart because of situations from their past, he loves them just as much. We don't have to live in fear of tomorrow or as a slave to yesterday. The true gift and joy of Christmas is that the answer to the mess that we created as humans, let's admit it, we caused the problem ourselves. Now, we can get into the whole argument about, it's Eve's fault because she shouldn't have bit that apple, or it's Adam's fault because listen, we're human. Humanity failed, not a person. Now, if you want to come and talk to me about that, come on Wednesday night, we'll discuss it in Bible study and we'll dig a little bit deeper. And I'll tell you what the real thing is because I can't go there. That's something for another time. We don't have to, a true gift of joy is that the answer to the mess that we created as humans in Genesis has finally arrived. Isaiah 9:6, for a child is born to us. A son is given. This is Isaiah prophesying about the Savior of the world, prophesying about Jesus Christ. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We're no longer bound to our sin. We are no longer a slave to our human nature. It doesn't happen anymore. Well, that's just the way I am. No, you've heard me say it before. Don't blame your mistakes and your dysfunction on God's design. We're no longer bound by that. Romans 7, 24 and 25. Oh, what a miserable person I am. How many of us have said that before? What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then right after it, thank God! Exclamation point. Thank God. Joy rose up in Paul. Why? Because he, in the second part of that, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus still brings joy today. The price has been paid. The debt that was owed has been erased, and the chains that once held us fast are broken forevermore. And the first one to recognize it was the mother and her unborn child, all in a conversation with a mother. Like I said earlier, many of us are our joy fades when the Christmas lights go out. But the best thing about the joy of Christ is that it is seasonal. The joy of Christ brought and that is experienced by Elizabeth and John that day is available to you and me today. It's the same spirit, the same joy, the same peace, the same happiness, the same greatness, that there is no expiration date on the joy of God. It doesn't say, okay, it's only going to last this amount of time, and then you're done. There's no expiration date. But what can happen is that Satan will sit there and he'll try to throw things on top of our joy and weigh it down. Situation that we're not happy with, a relationship that bombs, a job situation that completely falls apart on us, a worry about a bill, a worry about something in our marriage, a situation where we think our wife or our husband is cheating on us, or he starts to throw all these things on top of our joy. If we keep the joy of God at the top, everything else is just going to fall off. We've got to remember that he came with joy. There's no expiration date. We reap the benefits of his birth every single day. Lamentations 3 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your God is faithful. We can rest in the joy and peace that comes through Christ. As I close today, if you would stand for just a moment. Don't think that you have to see God moving. See, again, we rest in the joy that is supposed to happen. We rest in the joy that Jesus brings. And we wonder in our hard situations, where is God? Where is God moving? Where is my joy? Where is the situation that he's going to take care of me? Don't think that you have to see God moving in order to experience his joy either. Because the first one to experience joy because of a baby, of the baby Jesus, was a mother and her child before they ever even saw him. It was the Spirit of God inside of them that recognized him and celebrated him. Amy sent me a quote. She sent me a quote the other day. Or actually, she told me about it after I was sharing with her my message, and I was having a little bit of trouble coming up with the last part, and she didn't realize that she was sharing with me what I was supposed to say. It's a quote by a man by the name of Louis Giglio, wrote many incredible, incredible worship songs. He was a pastor over in Georgia. Isn't that right? Georgia. And amazing man of God. But he says, Jesus spent his first 9 months on earth in the womb. Just because you don't see God working doesn't mean he's not near. See, again, it was days after Mary talked with the angel. She wasn't showing a baby. She was, and it just says that at her greeting, she didn't even tell Elizabeth she was pregnant yet, but at her greeting, something changed. Some of you walked into this room today and you felt something change. There's a joy that had been missing, that all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're looking at me screaming and hollering up here and jumping up and down and acting like an idiot. And you're going, why is he doing all that? Because you don't, you're sitting there going, I don't understand it. Listen, the joy on the inside of me recognizes the presence of God. And that's the reason why I can praise. That's the reason why I can worship. But even on my worst day, he's still worth every bit of it. Even when I don't feel him moving, he's still worth it. Even when I don't see him changing in my life, he's still worth it. Can I be real with you for a minute? I struggle. There's times where I go home and I'll look at Amy and say, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. Because I feel like I stumble over my words and I feel like a loser. And I'll tell Amy, I just don't know. And I have to remember, it's not up to me to make it happen. My joy is in him. My joy is not standing up here preaching, although I enjoy it. Some of y'all are sitting there going, yeah, you really enjoy it. My joy is found in him. The fact that I am free today. The fact that I'm no longer bound by the sins of my life from my past. I no longer have to be terrified from what I used to be involved with. I don't have to hurt because of something that cut me 20 years ago. Because God heals. I may have a scar from it, but it reminds me of his grace. It reminds me of his mercy. And it reminds me, I'm not dead yet. You'll get that. I'm not dead. And as long as I'm breathing, there's purpose in my lungs. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You walked into this room. Some of you walked in, and as you walked in, you were sitting there going, I don't know why I'm here. We go through the same thing over and over, and we go through the motions every single time I'm here. And I don't feel any different than when I came in, and I don't feel the joy that I used to when I walked into the room. I don't feel the joy and the peace that I used to when I walked in. Well, you know what? God has never moved. It's us that have moved. God's never left. It may just be that you've strayed a little bit too far and you can't hear his voice as close. You can't hear his voice as clear. And again, you don't have to feel his presence to know he's there. You don't have to see him moving to know that he's working on your behalf. Some of you have even struggled with demonic thoughts of just, why am I even in this marriage? Why am I trying to live this way? It's so much easier when I just let it go.
and I just do what I want to do. And God would say to you today, I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. That's the reason why you're still here. That's the reason why I'm still calling you. That's the reason why you still feel my presence every now and then. It may not be as close as it used to be, but you know what? I've never moved. I'm waiting for you to come back. He's the father standing on the road waiting for the prodigal to come home so that he could run to meet him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this room today. And if that's you today, I'm not saying that you've fallen away from God. I'm not saying that you're a sinner and that you're dying and going to hell. You may be. But some of you, you're sitting there and you've let the enemy steal your joy. Remember the reason Jesus came this season was to give you joy first. If that's you today and you want your joy restored, you need your joy restored. Right now, all I ask you to do is raise your hand in Jesus' name. Right now. 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time, and actually I've never done it here. I want you to do me a favor. If you are comfortable, I want you to take the hand of the person on the right and the left of you. If you're comfortable doing that right now. I know that we have to be careful about that nowadays. So that's why I'm saying you don't have to. But I just encourage you to do it for a point of contact, because sometimes you need to borrow the strength of the person next to you. You need to borrow the presence of somebody else, the faith of somebody else. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to pray for the person on the right and the left over. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the situation that they're dealing with. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that your hand would touch these people. Those that raise their hand, God, that are struggling with their joy, they're struggling with their anxiety, they're struggling with their pain, they're struggling with their past. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would touch them, that you would let them know, Lord, that you came to give them life and to give it more abundantly. That you came to give them strength. That you came to give them joy. That you came for a purpose. God, in the name of Jesus, speak to them. In Jesus' name, pour your spirit out over this place. And Lord, we pray against anxiety. We pray against depression. We pray against worthlessness, this feeling of worthlessness. And God, this hurt from past hurts. God, today, start to heal broken hearts and heal broken lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.